You're here for the insights, the stuff that really matters, right? Today on The Deep Dive, we're zeroing in on something you might not have considered. The surprising connection between your immune system, the workhorse antibodies, and how healthy your lungs are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about COPD, asthma, and even just, you know, how well you can breathe.
Exactly. You flagged a fascinating piece of research for us, effect of the antibody-mediated immune responses on COPD, asthma, and lung function. A Mendelian randomization study published recently, and it asks a pretty fundamental question. Could our own antibody responses actually be driving forces behind some of these respiratory problems?
Right.
It's about cause and effect, not just what shows up together.
And that's what grabbed me. If we could untangle these causal links, I mean, imagine the possibilities, maybe earlier detection, maybe even new ways to treat or prevent these conditions down the line.
Yeah.
Think of it. Understanding why some people are more susceptible could change everything.
That's precisely our mission with this deep dive. We want to really dissect this study and see if specific antibody responses are indeed key players in COPD, asthma, and changes in your lung power.
Mm-hmm.
We're aiming to go beyond simple observations and explore what might be actually triggering these issues.
And the study unearthed something genuinely unexpected, at least for me. It kept pointing towards some incredibly common viruses and their potential impact on our lung health. Okay, but before we get to the juicy bits, let's understand how this study even tried to figure out cause and effect. They used something called Mendelian randomization. What's the plain English version of that for us?
Okay, think of it like this. Mendelian randomization uses your genes as a kind of natural experiment. Your genes related to antibody levels, well, they're set before you develop any lung disease, right?
Right, from birth.
So if we see that people with certain gene variations, the variations linked to higher or lower antibody levels, are also more or less likely to develop lung issues, it gives us a stronger clue that those antibody levels might be playing a causal role. It's a way to cut through that chicken and egg problem you often get with observational studies, where it's hard to tell if the antibodies came before the lung disease or, you know, vice versa.
Ah, so it's like looking at the genetic hand you're dealt, which influences your antibody responses, and seeing if that hand then correlates with your lung health later in life. That makes much more sense in terms of trying to pinpoint a direction of cause.
Precisely. And what they discovered is really quite significant. Their analysis found that a total of 20 different antibody-mediated immune responses showed a statistically significant causal effect on COPD, asthma, FEV1. That's the amount of air you can forcefully exhale in the first second.
A key lung measure.
A vital measure, yeah, of how well your lungs are working. And FVC, which is your total lung capacity, basically the total amount of air you can breathe out.
20. Wow, that's a lot of potential connections. And you mentioned that the relationship wasn't always one way.
That's right. They did find some evidence suggesting reverse causality for 6 of those 20. So while some antibody responses seem to influence lung health, in a few instances, having a lung condition might also affect your antibody levels. However, the primary focus of the study, and really where they found the most consistent and robust evidence, was the impact of antibodies on your lungs.
Okay, let's get to the findings that really jumped out then. Which antibody responses showed the most consistent links across their different ways of analyzing the data?
Well, two in particular stood out because they showed a very consistent and significant causal link across all 5 of their Mendelian randomization analysis methods. The first involves something called anti-polyomavirus, 2-IgG seropositivity.
Polyomavirus. That sounds a bit mysterious. What is it, and why should we pay attention to antibodies against it?
Actually, polyomaviruses are a really common group of viruses. Most people are exposed to them at some point, often without even knowing it. Maybe you had it as a kid and never even had symptoms.
Right.
You know, they can spread through the air. But in healthy individuals, infections are usually harmless. However, this study found that having these specific IgG antibodies, which indicates a past exposure to polyomavirus 2, was linked to a significantly increased risk for developing both COPD and asthma.
That's a real curved ball. You'd naturally assume that having antibodies means you're protected, right? So what's going on here?
Well, it seems that in this case, the presence of these antibodies might signal a prior infection that somehow contributes to the development or worsening of these lung conditions in the long run. And here's another piece of the puzzle. This same anti-polyomavirus 2 IgG seropositivity was also linked to a significant decrease in both FEV1 and FVC.
So lower lung function.
Meaning your lungs just don't work as well, exactly.
So it's like a triple threat.
Yeah.
A higher chance of COPD and asthma and reduced lung capacity. That's a pretty strong connection to a virus most of us have probably encountered. But the study also mentioned a surprising twist when it came to bronchiectasis.
Yes, this is a really key point of nuance. While anti-polyomavirus 2 IgG seropositivity increased the risk for COPD and asthma and lowered lung function, it actually appeared to be a protective factor against bronchiectasis.
Which is another lung disease.
Right. Another type of lung disease where the airways become abnormally widened. This really highlights that our immune responses can have very different and sometimes, well, unexpected effects in different parts of the respiratory system.
That's really fascinating and a good reminder that the body's systems are incredibly complex. So, okay, what was the other antibody link that showed up consistently?
The second major finding involved antibody levels against varicella zoster virus glycoproteins, ENI. Now, that might sound technical, but this is the virus you know as chickenpox and shingles.
Shingles. Yeah, we know that can be quite debilitating, particularly for older adults.
Exactly. And this study found that higher levels of these specific varicella zoster virus antibodies were also associated with a significant increased risk for both COPD and asthma. And just like with polyomavirus 2, they also saw a significant decrease in both FEV1 and FVC.
So another very common virus that most of us have had linked to poorer lung health down the line. Is that the full picture for varicella zoster?
Not quite. This particular antibody response also showed an association with a decrease in the FEV1-FVC ratio.
Okay, and that ratio is important because...
That ratio is another really important measure that doctors use to diagnose airflow obstruction in the lungs, which is... A hallmark of COPD.
Okay, let's just recap these two big hitters then. Antibodies indicating a past infection with both polyomavirus 2 and varicella zoster virus are consistently linked to a greater risk of COPD and asthma, a reduction in overall lung capacity, and in the case of varicella zoster, an increased likelihood of obstructed airflow.
That's a pretty significant takeaway right there.
It really is.
Were there any other antibody associations that were noteworthy, even if they weren't quite as consistent across all the analyses? Yes, there were several other interesting pieces of the puzzle. For instance, higher levels of Epstein-Barr virus EBNA1 antibodies, which tells us about a past infection with EDV, a virus that's incredibly widespread.
Mono, right?
Yeah, the monovirus. These antibodies were associated with a protective effect against asthma and a decrease in the risk of developing COPD. However, somewhat surprisingly, they were also linked to increased FEV1 and FVC.
That's a bit of a head-scratcher. So EBV antibodies might actually be beneficial in some ways for lung health.
That's what this particular finding suggests, yes. Although the exact mechanisms behind this would definitely need more investigation. They also found that higher levels of Epstein-Barr virus, VCA-P18 antibodies, another type from the same virus, were associated with a decrease in both COPD and asthma risk, and even a protective effect on FVC.
It's striking that different types of antibodies against the very same virus, EBV, seem to have such different, even seemingly opposite associations with lung health.
It really is.
It really underscores how nuanced and complex the immune system's response can be.
Absolutely. The study also highlighted Merkel cell polyomavirus VP1 antibodies, which is another type of polyomavirus. Higher levels of these were linked to an increased risk of COPD and asthma. But here's another twist, a protective effect on the FEV1-FVC ratio.
So bad for getting the diseases, but maybe less obstruction if you do. It's like every virus and even different antibodies to the same virus have their own specific and sometimes counterintuitive effects.
Exactly. And finally, they noted that higher levels of chlamydia, trachomatis, porbi antibodies indicating a past infection with the bacteria that causes chlamydia were suggestive as a risk factor for emphysema, which is a specific form of COPD, although these results showed a bit more variability across their different analytical approaches.
Okay, so we've got a lot of potential pieces to this puzzle, but what could be the biological mechanisms at play here? Why would antibodies against these common viruses be linked to these lung problems? Let's start with the polyomaviruses, since those showed such consistent links.
Right. Well, the study authors hypothesized that polyomaviruses, which often take hold in individuals with weakened immune systems, are known to trigger a specific type of immune response involving CD8 plus T cells.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting is that an increase in these same CD8 plus T cells has also been observed in the lungs of people with mild to moderate COPD, potentially contributing to inflammation and damage there.
Ah, I see.
So the idea is that a past polyomavirus infection might have kicked off this CD8 plus T cell response, which could then play a role in the development or worsening of COPD over time. They also point out that previous studies looking at this connection haven't always agreed, which is why this Mendelian randomization approach is so valuable, you know, in trying to establish a more direct causal link.
That makes sense. So it's not necessarily the active virus causing the trouble right now, but the lingering immune response, specifically those CD8 plus T cells that were activated by the prior infection, that might be contributing to lung damage and COPD. What about the varicella zoster virus, the one that causes shingles?
With varicella zoster, a key factor is that the virus can lie dormant in your body after you've had chickenpox and then reactivate later as shingles, especially when your immune system is under stress or weakened.
Right.
This is often the case in individuals with conditions like asthma and COPD. The study authors emphasize that while vaccination against varicella zoster is recommended, the rates of vaccination might be lower in COPD patients than they should be, perhaps due to a lack of awareness of this increased risk. Their findings really underscore that vaccination could be particularly beneficial for this population.
That's a really practical and important point. If you have COPD or asthma, this study adds even more weight to the recommendation of getting vaccinated against shingles. Now, the study also touched briefly on those reverse causality findings. You mentioned there weren't as many strong links going in that direction.
That's right. The reverse Mendelian randomization analysis, which looked at whether having COPD, asthma, or reduced lung function could then lead to changes in antibody responses. Well, it generally showed fewer strong and consistent links compared to when they looked at the effect of antibodies on lung health.
Okay.
This suggests that for most of the antibody responses they examined, the antibodies are more likely playing a direct role in the development of lung issues rather than just being a consequence of them. However, as we discussed earlier with some of the EBV findings, the relationship could certainly be complex and potentially go in both directions in some cases.
It sounds like a very intricate web of interactions. Now, no research is without its limitations. What were some of the caveats that the researchers themselves pointed out about this study?
They highlighted a few important limitations. First, the genetic data they used primarily came from European populations, so it's crucial to validate these findings in other ethnic groups to make sure they hold true across different populations.
Always important.
Definitely. Second, they acknowledged the possibility of some false positive results among the causal relationships they identified, as some of the sensitivity analyses didn't always show the same level of statistical certainty. And finally, because of the data that was available to them, their analysis mainly focused on airway-related lung diseases like COPD and asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't explore as deeply the connections with conditions that primarily affect the alveoli, you know, the tiny air sacs in your lungs.
Those are definitely important things to keep in mind when interpreting these findings. But overall, what would you say is the most significant contribution of this study to our understanding of lung health?
Well, the researchers themselves state that this is the first comprehensive study to systematically analyze the causal relationship between such a wide array of antibody-mediated immune responses and COPD, asthma, and lung function using this powerful Mendelian randomization approach.
Right.
It really provides a valuable starting point for unraveling these complex interactions and shines a light on specific viral antibodies as potential risk factors that really warrant further investigation.
Okay, so for you, our listener, what's the most crucial thing to take away from all of this?
The core message is this. This study offers compelling evidence suggesting a causal link between your body's antibody response to very common viruses, particularly polyomavirus 2 and varicella zoster virus, and your risk of developing COPD and asthma, as well as affecting how well your lungs function overall.
And understanding this kind of connection could really have some significant implications down the line, right?
Absolutely. These findings could eventually help us identify individuals who might be at a higher risk for these respiratory conditions much earlier in life, potentially paving the way for earlier preventative strategies and more targeted diagnostic approaches.
So, to leave you with a final thought, considering these newly discovered links between our immune responses to common viral infections and the long-term health of our lungs, what are the broader implications for how we think about managing our respiratory well-being? Should we be more proactive about taking preventative measures against common infections, especially if you already have any existing respiratory concerns?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something worth pondering and perhaps discussing further with your own healthcare providers. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.